clean up, or I don't know how to clean up, I don't have it so far. The Lord has already given us that supply. And then the final one is, in this story, the innkeeper just had to take care of just one. So the Lord asks us, we have to be faithful to care for at least one. And if we have the livelihood of the world and a brother has need, we need to take care. I think this story just made it so much more personal in our going on and even our debt to the Lord that we have. I think this is very fitting given the gospel meeting that we had yesterday in learning how to, bit by bit, take care of others.
Amen.
So from the College Retreat, I really enjoyed the matter of loving the Lord and then also wasting ourselves a lot. And in the Bible, we see that in Matthew 26:6-13, Mary poured out this precious ointment to the Lord, and she also sat at his feet. And I'm sure that many of us have experienced just how busy life can get with our various responsibilities, but I appreciated how easily we can turn to the Lord to just sit at his feet, to fix our view upon him, just really enjoy his presence. And there were also many who saw what Mary did and thought that her love for offering was a waste, but really she just loved the Lord and she treasured him. And so maybe be those that also waste ourselves upon the Lord, not out of religious duty or obligation, but just simply because we love the Lord and he's so sweet and precious to us. And so we would give our time, we would give our youth, our money, our energy to
him. Amen.
The third message in this retreat talks about we also need to love one another just like the Lord has loved us. And I was touched by the story. I always touched by the story of the disciple Peter in the gospel. The brother shared that Peter he felt that he was really absolute to the Lord, and he even told the Lord that, by no means, whatever happened, I will still follow you. And he thought that he loved the Lord more than the fellow disciples, like John, James, or other disciples. But the Lord really used the situation to show him that he was not better than any other disciples. We all the same, we are all his disciples, his followers, and we are not better than anyone else. And especially when the Lord was captured, you know, Peter, he denied the Lord 3 times. And I think that's really a big impact to Peter. He realized that he was not better than anyone else. And actually, when the Lord resurrected, and after the Lord's resurrection, ascension, and Peter was the leading brother that led all the brother back to the old profession, and he led him back to catch the fish. Right? This is not the Lord charged him to do. But when the Lord appeared to them, he didn't rebuke Peter. Instead, he prepared the breakfast. He helped this disciple, the brother, to catch the fish. So it means that instead the Lord actually shepherded all the disciples. And in John chapter 21, he asked Peter, do you love me? 3 times. And then Peter said, I love you, Lord. You know that. So, and Jesus said, if you love me, shepherd my sheep. And I was so touched by that. Lord, we just love you. And we just shepherd your sheep because you shepherd us first. And you know, last night gospel meeting, actually the gospel friend, he asked me that his brother shepherd, the shepherd of his official name. And I said, yeah, actually so I have a chance to share that the shepherd in Bible is very important because the Lord himself is our shepherd. And shepherd means that he take care of the sheep. And all the believers, all the fellow believers actually are the sheep. So the Lord also wants to make us the shepherds. We need to shepherd our brothers and sisters. So in this retreat, I was really encouraged that, Lord, we love you, and please shepherd your sheep.
So I enjoyed how, in order to be a priest, we need to serve God, live before God, be filled and saturated with God, and be completely one with God. And actually, a priest isn't someone who just does outward things for God. Rather, it's just someone who loves God with their best love and their first love. And so we actually need to be a priesthood, which is a group of priests all serving God as their best love. And if we take a look at the church in Corinth, right, they had so many problems. But the root of those problems was that they left, their first love was no longer Jesus. And so we need to be the church in Philadelphia, right, a priesthood who all love the Lord as our best love.
Amen.
Maybe because of time, I could open this week's portion from the morning revival. But for the ones who still have something to share from the college retreat, you'll see this flows in very nicely. So we are coming to an end of the Memorial Day conference. The messages are related to enjoying the Tree of Life. So we come to the last week, week six, becoming... how about let's read this together so you can have the material. Becoming a reproduction of Christ as the tree of life for the ministry of life. Okay. So I would say this. There is a progression from the first message all the way to the last. I think we started off to see that we really need to take the way of enjoying Christ as the tree of life, right? And this is to deliver us from living a life that is on the realm of right and wrong, right? But rather, we are those who are enjoying the tree of life, Christ as life, to live according to the principle of life. But this, I think in this week, or the last couple weeks, we started to see that this is not just an individual matter, not just for ourselves to enjoy life, but that we would be a reproduction of Christ as the tree of life. And so in the first Roman numeral, if you see, how about let's read this point together, Roman numeral 1. In God's economy, we are not only eaters of the tree of life, but we are also branches of this tree. And we may eventually become a small tree of life, a reproduction of Christ as the tree of life. I hope this statement really begins to sink into us. I would have to admit, prior to this set of messages, my concept concerning the tree of life is that, yes, Genesis 2:9, God puts man in front of the tree of life. That symbolizes the need for man to enjoy Christ as a tree of life. And then that's it. But we need to see, right, this revelation goes on, goes forward, right? If we look at these verses here, first of all, in him was life, right? This is very clear in John 1:4. God became a man so that he could become life to mankind. But there is a principle that God, who is now a man, Jesus, he would die as the one grain into the earth, but then out of that death, there would be a reproduction, a germination, right? So that it was just not one grain, but many grains would come forth, right? So in other words, God's desire is that not only would he be this grain of life, he wants many, many grains of life to be built together into the one loaf that we enjoy this morning as the bread on the table. And then we furthermore see the last several weeks that we, who are the once the wild olive tree, we have been grafted into this cultivated olive tree. In other words, through the Lord's death on the cross and through our believing into him, we have now, be joined together, right? And so now we could say that when we abide in him, right, when we are in him and he abides in us, we're able to bear much fruit. What is this fruit? This fruit is just an outflow of this life that is now, in us and passing through us, right, into others, right? And so this is the vision that we see today. Brothers and sisters, are you confident to say, I am now a little tree of life? How about we declare that together? I am now a miniature tree of life. And we are. I hope we really, as we see more and more, this will really become our vision and our revelation. Okay? So how about let's read, go to point Roman numeral 2. As a reproduction of Christ, as a tree of life, we have the ministry of life. Can we declare that last sentence together? We have the ministry of life. Well, because we are now, right, grafted into this wonderful vine, right, we are those abiding in the Lord. He is abiding in us. And we are what? We're bearing fruit. And we have this ministry of life. The key verse from this section is 1 John 5:16. Why don't we read this all together as well? 1 John 5:16. I don't know which day. Day two. You can flip to day two, and let's read this together. Okay? If anyone sees his brother sinning, he shall ask, and he will give life to him, to those sinning not unto death. Okay, we'll just stop there. This is really the critical point, I would say, from this week. Is to see that we, as branches in the vine, we have a certain obligation, right? You could say even a certain necessity. As members in the body, as branches in the vine, in this verse it says, when we see, right, someone else sinning, actually you could say sinning is just an absence of life, right? When we not enjoying this life enough, we sin, right? And so when we see one another, right, is our immediate reaction to judge, condemn, right, wag our heads. No, this verse says, he shall ask, right? We need to be actually those who are abiding in the Lord. And in that kind of fellowship, there's a certain burden. There's a certain feeling for one another, right? We pray for one another, right? We see a brother or sister not doing well. What is our reaction? We pray for them, right? And then only in this way can we what? We will give life. Actually, I want to emphasize, it says, he will give life. You know, sometimes we pray, Lord, you give life, right? Lord, oh, this brother, Brother David, oh, he needs life. You give him life. yeah, the Lord says amen, but actually he will actually reply to you, actually you give life.